The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here, Analyze This, wrapping up our conversation with the man himself, the UVA president, the one and only David Hall, originally from Savannah. Educated in Georgia, out in Kansas. That's Manhattan, right?
That is correct.
That's Manhattan, Kansas. And for those of you who don't know, there's a Manhattan all over the place. You got one in Manhattan Beach in California. Of course, there's the one and only, the original Manhattan in New York City. And also did a Harvard, right?
Yes, I went there for law school, for graduate law school, my master's in law, and my doctorate in law.
Wow, congratulations in that regard. So, you know, you're our guest. And before I go to my other guest, who is actually going to be talking about our kids' play, one of my guests, one of my listeners asked me to ask you this question, so I'm going to ask you this last question. What do you think about athletes being compensated? Now, I know it's you're the right person to ask, because there's this delicate balance. And the argument has been going on for like 40 years. Students make all this money for the universities, particularly the high-profile sports, baseball, basketball, and with the tournament, and football with the bowl games and all that stuff. They need to get paid and all that stuff. And then on the flip side, well, you know, they're actually getting paid, because they're getting a free college ride. 40-some schools that they're going to is $40,000, $50,000 a year, all that stuff. Talk about this, looking back as a former athlete and as a UVA president, and how dynamics like this require a lot of balance, a lot of understanding, and a greater amount of finesse.
Yeah, it is a very sensitive issue and a very controversial one. I will share the following, that this has been an issue that has plagued, quote-unquote, amateur athletics for quite some time, because there are some false lines that are drawn that really don't get to the core of what athletes are providing to universities. Yes, you're right. The athlete is getting a scholarship. And, you know, education these days is very expensive, so it's not as if they aren't receiving something. However, students get academic scholarships as well, and we never say to them, well, since you've gotten that, nothing else you are entitled to. And major sports programs, and that's clearly not where we are as a university at this point, but major sports programs that are attracting thousands of people, a lot of advertisement, a lot of dollars flowing into the university, have to recognize that it is those athletes on the field, on the court, that's generating that. I mean, yes, you need a structure, you need coaches, et cetera, but without the players, you wouldn't have the attraction to the sports as you have now. So just to make the comparison, the NCAA at the time I was an athlete indicated that we could only receive $15 a month, and that was justified as laundry money. And so you can imagine, as we said earlier, coming from Savannah, Georgia, from working class family, that in addition to scholarship and housing, you had other needs. And it forced you to always be looking for other ways in which you could generate some spending money and to just have some of the other things that other students had. So that's a long way of saying I support the move. I think the way it has been structured
needs some review, some serious review.
Yes, it does. But it is a step in the right direction, because the image of the athlete is often being used to promote the university, and therefore when that image is being used by companies and commodities, there should be some remuneration. But there are other athletes who may not have the high profile who also are providing support to that program and deserves some rewards. This can get out of hand.
And yeah. Like we
say, yeah. It can be abused. And so it certainly will have to be monitored. But we have to value individuals who are bringing their skills, body, and talent to the arena and not act as if, well, they aren't justified in being compensated at this level.
Let me give you some context. I really feel bad now because you're making me feel hurt because you were talking. How much? $15 a month? I just wanted to know. In 2012, ESPN for college football, right? They cut a deal, a 12-year deal worth $5.64 billion.
Yeah.
$470 million annually. They just re-upped a couple of weeks ago for half the amount of time, 6 years, for $7.8 billion, for more money.
Yeah.
In total, for the previous 12 years, they're going to pay them $1.3 billion annually over the next 6 years. Wow. I don't want to say it's too much money, but this is a whole lot of money, Mr. President, in sports right now.
It is a major industry, and that's why we can't put this amateur banner around it and act as if the folks who are serving as the focus of this major enterprise should not be compensated in any way.
I got Liz Margolis coming on right now to talk about kids play, but just to wrap this up, isn't this impetus for us here in the Virgin Islands to want to invest in facilities so that our children could have an opportunity if they're skilled enough and talented enough to actually be in a position to be an NIL student athlete?
I totally agree. We need to invest more in athletics at every level, and I think there is a proud tradition of athletics in the Virgin Islands.
And with our weather, training facilities, we're year-round.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, speaking on behalf of the university, we are moving in that direction. We joined the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. That's a part of NAIA.
Okay, that's nice. Yeah. Is that going to be part of your sabbatical? At least a smidgen of it. You can incorporate your history as a former NCAA athlete.
No, I'm laying that duty down. The next president will have to. What is special about it, though, it is an HBCU exclusive conference. And so this past year we played against Tougaloo and FIS and colleges that have household names in the black community.
I think the more
we can build the program, the more national attention will come to the university and thus to the athletes.
David Hall, President UVA, I want to thank you very much for making some time. Good luck this afternoon with U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock at the student convocation discussion taking place 1 p.m. at the Eldridge Blake, I'll make sure I say this correctly, Sports and Fitness Center at the University of Virgin Islands, Orville E. Ken Campus on St. Thomas. Congratulations once again.
Thank you, and thank you for allowing me to be on your program.
Nah, man, thank you for making some time. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Right.
You got it. That's David Hall joining us this morning. They got big things going on at 1 p.m. Over there at the Fitness Center at the UVA campus. I'd like to introduce and apologize to Ms. Margolis for joining us to talk about kids' play. Thank you very much, Ms. Margolis. Welcome to Analyze This. How are you?
Hi, good day. How are you? I'm well. And, you know, I enjoyed listening to Dr. Hall, and he is good friend, and he has been such a huge supporter of our event. And we also have on the line Amber McCannon from the Children's Museum and Vernon Arujo from Island Vibes as well.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me write down these names. Amber McCannon. Good morning, Amber. How are you?
Good morning. I'm blessed.
so thankful to be here.
Okay. And Vernon Araújo, that's how you pronounce your last name?
Very close, Vernon Araújo.
No, say it nice and slow.
A-R-A-U-J-O.
As a matter of fact, spell it so I could try to perfect it.
Okay, A-R-A-U-J-O.
Okay. It got double.
It's Portuguese.
You got double vowel in there with the A-U. Okay, that's what you're talking about. Uh-huh. A-R-A-U-J-O.
Yes. Different than the Hispanic, the Spanish Araújo.
Araújo.
Portuguese pronunciation. Yeah.
Araújo.
So a lot of Puerto Ricans will say I'm mispronouncing it, but there's Araújo in Spanish and Araújo in Portuguese.
Okay, that's what you're talking about. So, Island Vibes.
Yes.
And Amber McKenna from the Children's Museum. Good morning to all of you. Thank you very much for joining us here and analyze this. I will yield to Ms. Margolis. Go right ahead and run things on behalf of the crew.
Thank you. And thank you again for this opportunity to come on your show today. And, of course, you and your team over there at NPR have been a huge, huge support system for our event as well. So thank you. You guys have done a lot. We are very blessed to have a lot of people who've gotten on board. We started this venture. Vernon and I started talking. We met last summer. Started talking about the possibility of having this event, and we brought the Children's Museum in, and we have created a dream team of this wonderful event. It's going to be this Saturday, April 6th, at the Sports and Fitness Center at UVI, and it's everything and anything children in the Virgin Islands. We are going to have, we have several, like we have almost 40 participants who are on board. Who will be showing up. We are going to have skateboarding. We're going to have pickleball. We're going to have Department of Parks and Recreation.
Pickleball, you said? Pickleball's in it?
Pickleball. Ooh. We have a pickle. The Virgin Islands has a pickleball association. But that's the whole point of this event is there's so, you know, as a mom, there's so many times when we've said, God, there's what's there to do on the island? What's there for kids to do? And everybody comes up empty. So we wanted to create a place, a one-stop shop, a place, an event that focuses on the children of the Virgin Islands because we feel there's so many things that happen all the time. And I feel a lot of times we feel there are children are not the main focus. So we wanted this day to be all about the children. So we're going to have different health providers there. We're going to have orchestras and music and art and reading and drawing and karate and, you know, different, you know, cooking things. There's going to be a swimming association. It's just we have almost 40 participants who are coming out to do different activities, different events with the children, see, you know, and just really kind of promote what they do and all those things that there are to offer. And this is such a drop in the bucket of all the things in the island, but I think we're very happy to say that we have a really nice mix of a cross section of various different activities, organizations that are coming out to promote resources and activities for our children.
Now, Ms. McKinnon, the Children's Museum, you're like the sponsor, right? You're the one that announces this, puts it together.
Well, so really it is a collaborative effort here. So Liza, with her marketing company, she's been a great, basically, party planner, event planner for us. She's done a lot of the logistics. And then Brian is helping with Island Vibes. All three of us came together. We have the same mission in mind, basically, you know, how do we support children and families in the territory in our various ways? We came together and created this really dynamic, interesting collaboration. The Children's Museum is, I don't know the best way to say it, but I guess we are one of the beneficiaries of the outcome of the event. So the event is really, yes, it's a, you know, one day where everybody can come together and see what folks offer for children and families in the territory, but it goes beyond just the one day. So we are also trying to pool all the information about the various organizations that do things with children and families to create a Kids Play Network, mm-hmm. which will be hosted. It'll be an online resource hosted on the Virgin Islands Children's Museum website as a separate page, a separate tab. Page that you can access through our website. So I guess in that way, we're kind of a big sponsor of the event because we're the host of the ultimate Kids Play Network that will be on our website. We're also trying to raise funds to bring teen time back. those of you that have teens that participated know what an amazing resource that was a federally grant funded program that we ran last year at the Virgin Islands Children's Museum. It was Select Fridays where teens could come out and just hang out, have a safe place to be with their peers, with their family members, learn how to play logic building strategy games or work on interpersonal communication skills with our life coaches from Elevate We, another nonprofit organization we partnered with. The mathematicians that helped run the strategy games were from the University of the Virgin Islands. So, you know, we're always trying to partner with so many great organizations throughout the territory doing really good things. And when we can come together, bring all this great minds and energy into centralized space, I feel like we can get even more traction, do even more really great things. So this is just a continuation of that and hopefully a springboard to keep going.
Yeah, I see an article here on a source, Mr. Arahuil, right? The free community event is presented by Island Vibe Summer Camp, LJM Business Solutions, and the Virgin Islands Children's Museum. Talk about Island Vibe Summer Camp, Mr. Arahuil.
Yes, thank you. So Island Vibe Summer Camp is a family camp that we started back in 2017. And despite the storms, we were able to continue 2018. But we were hosted at UVI, which, of course, inevitably did need to do some repairs and whatnot. So we have not been able to find a new home as yet. So this year, we're trying to reestablish that. And so we wanted to bring our resources and bring our families to this event because we do frequently get asked, since we've had those parents at our camps, what other things are going on, what else is happening, what other camps are available this summer. So we thought it was very necessary to have this network. I think the Children's Museum is a great host for it because they're kind of a one-stop shop for all things children and education for, you know, extracurricular. So we really are excited to partner with everybody. And Liza came to us with the idea, and I just, you know, I jumped right in because it's a necessity. It's not something that we've had in a while. And I think there was a senator years ago that had a directory of different things available, but that was something like 12, 15 years ago. So I think this is going to be great for parents. I have friends and relatives in the States that, you know, they want to come back with their kids in the summertime. They're looking for things to do. They don't know what to do. Now we have a website. They could go online.
That's awesome. Let me check me right there because we're going to go to a break. We're going to pick it up right there with your friends on the mainland who would want to come back home in the summertime, okay? So we're talking with Liza Margolis, Amber McKinnon, and Vernon Arahuil. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me for from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hey everyone, I'm Bukia Lakebede, host, journalist, son of immigrants, and part-time baker. I don't like the taste of alcohol, I don't drink coffee, I have a nut allergy. What am I doing hosting a food show?
Oh my God.
Every dish has a story, and those stories are rooted in heritage and tradition. We are turning up the volume on what we have always known, that everyone always has a seat at our table. This is Table for All.
Saturday at 3:30 p.m. on WTJX TV Channel 12.
And we're back here on Analyze This Kids Play coming up this weekend, Saturday, April 6th. At the Virgin Islands, hold on, let me make sure I get the details correct. Okay, yeah, the Virgin Islands Children's Museum, right? It's going to be held at UVI Sports and Fitness Center this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., right? It's presented by three entities, right? Island Vibe Summer Camp, LJM Business Solutions, and the Virgin Islands Children's Museum. And it's a true family day event taking place this Saturday. We got Miss Liza Margolis, Miss Amber McCannon, and Mr. Vernon Arahujo joining us this morning. I want to thank all three of you for making some time to talk about this important event here taking place this weekend. Mr. Arahujo, you were talking about the summer camp and how we got Virgin Islanders who may be living in the States and they want to send the children them down to spend some time with a grandmother or auntie or uncle or a grandfather or even a cousin, and your camp provides that that opportunity for the children and them to do something while they're here.
Yes, exactly. So we're starting again slow. We are aiming to do a 1 week volleyball camp for high school age students in August. So we'll be able to make an announcement about that shortly, but we also should be including fencing in that camp. So look out for a 1 week fencing camp as well under Island Vibes. But really looking for opportunities. And back when we were able to run the program before the storms, we realized that even people who were visiting for the vacation were bringing their kids to the camp.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Parents were leaving the hotel, dropping their kids off to UVI and going about their day, having a good old time, and then coming up in the afternoon and picking them back up. And these kids were from Texas, and they're hanging out with kids from St. Croix, St. John, St. Thomas, and everybody's having a good time playing the sport they love. So it's really just an opportunity to bring kids together. I really think that it was a blessing for me growing up here to be able to travel to St. Croix and make Cruisian friends before I was an adult. Some of those opportunities have kind of gone by the wayside since the storm. So we want to start building back those bridges and giving young people those chances to enjoy themselves with other Virgin Islanders from different islands, and then even visitors from the States, their family members who want to come down, et cetera. And it's not just sports. You know, this is why we wanted to participate in this event, because there's so many different things available, but a lot of times we don't know. So this is going to be an opportunity for parents to come out and check it out, see what we have available on island, and even make suggestions. You know, maybe we can build on certain projects, different programs, and help each other to really get more and more opportunities for young people in the Virgin Islands.
That's awesome. Ms. Margolis,
yes.
What year is this for Kids Play?
This is our first year. This is the first year we're doing it. So, you know, we wanted to be We wanted to do it year after year, and each year we're going to try to build upon the network. But I do want to say that even though the event is on St. Thomas, unfortunately, because it's our first year and this is the first time we're doing it, we've had a lot of people from St. Croix and all the Crucians out there. We are not forgetting you. We promise we are going to, we're including everybody in the network. So the network is not just going to be St. Thomas, St. John. The network is going to be entities from St. Croix as well. So when people log into the Children's Museum and they see, click here for the Kids Play Network directory, it's going to include all three islands. And this is the first time we've done it, so that's why we're seeing, like, testing it here since we all live here, but we have not counted out the fact that we know we've gotten a lot of people from St. Croix asking about to do it over there, and it's something we're exploring maybe for next year. But the network will include all three islands.
Ms. McKenna, talk about how this whole thing came together, because it's a lot of work. People know about the end result, but there's a whole lot that goes in to get you to Saturday, April the 6th at the UVI Sports and Fitness Center.
Yes, sir. It's true of everything, right? It's so easy for people to say, you know, you hear things and you're like, oh, well, just do this and just do that. That word just, I think, is very weighty, because it's never just a just. It's a lot of moving parts. Thanks so much to Liza, really. She's been a great with logistics, and Vernon is rallying the volunteers. The Children's Museum, of course, we have our full staff. The Children's Museum will actually be closed on April 6th. So if you regularly bring your kids out to play in our beautiful indoor hands-on air-conditioned space, you'll have to go to a different beautiful air-conditioned space. Just come on down to UVI. So our full staff will be there on hand. We'll be running arts and crafts and science exploration. This has very much been a team effort. And just like the Children's Museum and the way we run the Kids Play Expo could not take place. It could not function without the volunteers. So big shout out to all those that have committed to helping us out. We do expect a good crowd. We're hoping so. The first 100 kids are going to get a free gift bag. And even if you miss that, so many different vendor people that are going to be there sharing what it is that they do for children and families, they're going to have, you know, freebies. They're going to have information for the adults. They're going to have activities and games for the children. It's going to be really informative and fun.
I could hear the excitement in your voice.
Yeah. I'm tired, but I'm excited.
That's good. Mr. Araujo, you been on my show earlier this year?
Yes.
You're doing something with the 81C studio, right?
That's right, with Alpine Security.
Alpine Security, yeah. What's it like being a community organizer and an activist like this, and an encourager, and putting programs and projects together to get the most out of our young people?
In a word, it's really a blessing. A lot of times when we get together in barbershops and the beauty salons, we kind of complain and, you know, grumble about WAPA and this and that. But in my career, I've been able to see a lot of positivity and a lot of very dedicated, hardworking people that care so much about the VI and its people. And it's really been inspiring. Not just teachers and coaches, but, you know, just regular, everyday people that are willing to do a little extra to help out, will come and volunteer. By the way, we could still use some volunteers. If anybody's interested, please reach out to us. You can call me on my cell phone, 227-8932. But we are really blessed to see so much positivity in the VI. There's a lot that's going on here that's very good. And so... it's reassuring. to be able to see it on a daily basis and to watch different organizations from Family Resource Center, Nana Baby Home, Boys and Girls Club, Children's Museum, Junior Achievement. I mean, there's so many different organizations and people that are doing good work. So it's been great. I enjoy what I do. I intend to continue. And I appreciate everybody who's been able to support. And we can't do it without all the people in the VI. You know, it's like, it's like, I mean, what is it, one-on-one full basket, and our basket is feeling fuller and fuller every day. So it's been a blessing.
And that's what I'm talking about. Now, Ms. Margolis, you run a business, LJM, right?
LJM Business Solutions. I worked for the university for about 15 years,
That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about education, right? You're with Kids Play, but there's also Kids Count and other entities that look at the development of our young people. And I know, you know, Saturday is a fun day event and what have you, but what else can we do? I know the library, right? We got big day coming up here on St. Croix, April 9th, where Florence Williams Library, they're doing the official reopening. I'm a big advocate of libraries. And how they played a role in my upbringing, my evolution as a human being. Of course, we live in a technological era. Everything is cell phone, which unfortunately had devalued libraries and all that. How can we get little things like that back into the mix so that our young people can have a greater appreciation for the purpose that they're supposed to provide for us and serve?
Well, I think, and then Amber works a lot with those groups as well. But I think that, you know, when people are doing these events and when people are thinking about future plans and future, you know, there's a lot of strategic planning going on for the future of the Virgin Islands and what to come. And I feel like, you know, tourism is a big part of it. And this, a lot of stuff is a big part of it in the industry and St. Croix and the oil, you know, there's a lot, but I feel like children have to be the Virgin Islands. Our children have to be first and foremost. And I grew up here. This is my home. I love it here. And, you know, I feel like sometimes, not me, but sometimes it seems that it's an afterthought. I think when people are planning organizations and planning events and strategic planning, we really have to think, where can we get the children from where they are now to a higher level and elevate them and make them feel wanted and make them feel that they count? And this isn't my, when we are dealing with the teen time last year, one of the components that we are really lucky, and there is going to be a teen time lounge at this event on Saturday. So teens are welcome. It's not going to be just for kids, younger kids. But a lot of the teens expressed to us, because we had an area where they could talk to different people, and we did games with them, and a lot of them expressed that they feel left out in their communities. They don't feel like they have anything. They don't feel there's a place for them. And I think it's important to let our children know and to make them, give them opportunities where they feel valued. They feel they matter. Every single child in the Virgin Islands is our future, and we need to start investing in making sure they feel like they count.
That's what I'm talking about. Do you want to piggyback on that, Ms. McCannon?
Yeah, I sure do. I mean, there's so much that could be said, but a big thing is I just reinforcing that idea that we have to start with the youth. You know, there's more and more research coming out all the time that indicates that early childhood education programs, access to resources is so vital in not only the child's educational development, but their social emotional development and even crime reducing impacts. High quality child programs, you know, they benefit the whole community in the long run. So the more that we have resources for kids, they know that they're not just being forgotten and an afterthought. Nobody, you know, they actually have a means to get support, get help. Mental health is a major issue. I'm sure you are aware that the Surgeon General put out a call to action, a state of emergency call a couple of years ago about the state of the youth mental health throughout the whole country. It's certainly happening here in the VI. Oftentimes, these things are not comfortable to talk about, and it's not out in the open, but we need to start talking about it. We need to start creating these networks and these bridges so that people know what the resources are. At the Kids Play Expo, we will have mental health experts and other types of health experts, whether it's Partners for Kids is going to be there. We're going to have Dr. Griffith, Sonia Taylor Griffith with her early childhood dentistry will be there. We've got Department of Health will be there, you know, talking about vaccinations. And, you know, there's I know that a lot of these things come with baggage, concern, but we can't move forward if we can't talk about it, right? So just bringing everybody together to, yes, have fun, but also start making these connections and getting dialogues going and getting even more partnerships. That's what it's all about, because really we need to do it now. We can't just keep playing lip service about the violence in the streets and our youth and what are they doing. Yes, they're all just on their phone socializing via phone. It's not the same as when we grew up and we could just go outside and see each other, right? So we have to adapt. The way that we present resources and programs has to adapt to this modern era too. So we got to get creative. We got to start brainstorming. We got to start talking.
Without a doubt. Mr. Araujo, with the summer camp, all of those dynamics that Ms. McKinnon and Ms. Margolis just spoke about, come summertime, you got to incorporate all of that so that the experience isn't just a drop off for some place for them to go, that it's valuable while they are there.
So I'm almost on the opposite end of the spectrum. So while I appreciate all stream learning and what the Children's Museum does at our camp, we have a digital detox. So mm-hmm. The children do not have their cell phones during camp. And it's because...
Why you bringing music to my ears so early in the morning, man? I love this, man. Yeah, man.
Well, especially for sports, you know, if you need to focus and not strain muscles and pull this...
Concentration is a must.
On what you need to pay attention. It's a must. So I don't need you in your phone checking your girlfriend. No. We need your focus, full attention. So put your phone down, leave it home. I will hold it for you till the end of camp. But during camp, there's no phones at all. So, but it takes them at least a day or two to get used to it. At first, we get a little, what am I going to do without my phone?
But do me a favor now. Set aside one day for them to spend a couple hours in the library, man.
Yes.
Definitely. We would do different things where we will bring different professionals to come and talk to them.
Or bring the library to them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We were very fortunate. I think I could speak for all four of us. We were very fortunate that we didn't have cell phones and all that stuff. So we had to go through, experience that disciplinary environment that a library presents and provides. And I think it helped us going forward. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't be loud and rambunctious all the time. Sometimes it's just good to focus. And that's a good thing. We got Ms. Liza Margolis, Ms. Amber McKinnon, and Vernon Araujo joining us. Kids Play takes place this weekend at the UVI Sports and Fitness Center, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Phones, social media, you've kept up with the times. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in just 3 minutes, you'll get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands. Stay updated with news, alerts, and other valuable information with WTJX Newsfeed. Listen to the latest news stories that matter with Marcelina Ventura Douglas. Weekdays at 5 p.m. on WTJX 93.1, WTJX Newsfeed, your source for stories that matter.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.1.1.
And we're back here on Analyze This, and we've got the presenters of Kids Play, right? LJM Business Solutions. I got the right name there, Ms. Ms. Margolis. The Virgin Islands Children's Museum, and of course Island Vibes Summer Camp, represented by Ms. Liza Margolis, Ms. Amber McCannon, and Mr. Vernon Araujo. Respectively. Pronounce that name right, Mr. Araujo?
Yeah, man, you nailed it.
The library, man. Library hooked me up, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
it got me to focus, you know what I'm saying? So we good. You know, I'm grateful, you know, as a talk show host, when I have folks like yourselves coming on here and trying to provide avenues, Ms. Margolis, for our young people, and you know, for parents as well, you know, because you know, things haven't been easy. You know, we're still, you know, somewhat reeling from the effects of a pandemic that hit us 4 years ago, and life has changed. This is the new normal, you know, and we're trying to get back into our flow, and that came on. That came on the heels of the devastation 3 years before, two and a half years to be exact, with Irma and Maria. You know, so, you know, what this shows, you know, just looking at it, you know, from a, you know, a broad scope perspective, is that we are a resilient people here in the Virgin Islands.
Yes. Yeah. And thank you for the opportunity to come on. And, you know, it's like this has been a dream come true doing this event with the 12-year-old son. It's a, you know, my son always is like, he's, you know, likes to try different things and do different things. But being a parent these days, it's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. And you talk about the technology, getting him off his iPads. And, you know, we purposely designed this for there's no cell phone. There's no media people. There's just play. Back to when I remember being a kid, when you did nothing but go outside and play. And, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of times now our young people don't experience that. You know, I think here in the islands, it's a little easier because of all the nature and the beaches and the stuff we have. But it makes me sad that kids these days are growing up connected to these devices. So, you know, that's one of our goals, is to get them out and moving. And different with different things. But can I just thank really quick the,
few the sponsors. Go right ahead.
You know, we have been so fortunate for the people who've come, and we've gotten emails, and we've had so many wonderful groups that have stepped up and said, we want to help our children in the Virgin Islands. And the UVI, huge, Dr. Hall, President Hall and his staff, our two big main biggest sponsors have been Alpine and White Bay Group, have given us a lot of resources, the lottery, VI Source, Westline Productions. Tony at Westline's like, tell me what you need. You've got it. I want to help the children. He's been amazing. Pro Solar. Of course, you guys have been amazing, NPR, WTJX, you know, Mind Body Health, CC1, Guardian Insurance, Waste Management, Rapier Med, Moe's Fresh Market, T-Shirt One, Partners for Kids, AMG Stations, Benton Construction, C-Glass, Reed, VIRE, JS Therapies, Happy Times, Video Streaming, Rashidi's been great, Merchants Bank, ICMC, MSI, CCHESS, Sonia Griffith Dental, and Island Design. So we've had so many organizations that want to be a part of this and have all committed to just help, saying, what do you need? We want to help. And I think there's so many companies out there that are here, and not just local companies. I think there's a lot of companies out there, like EDC companies, you know, a lot of them are really like, we want to invest in the children of the Virgin Islands. We're here doing business, and we want to invest. And I think that's a really good thing as well, that they recognize there's a need. And they've stepped up. So thank you to all our sponsors.
Well, you know, EDC companies.
Quite a few of those sponsors.
I just wanted to chime in and say, one of the good things about our EDA program, our economic development program, is that one of the mandates is that they make charitable contributions to entities here in the Virgin Islands. They're not just coming here and getting tax breaks out the wazoo in return for investment. There's also a mandated commitment that they have to make to some of our nonprofits and entities here in the Virgin Islands. So it's good to hear that is in play.
I will just say, though, that there are some EDC companies out there that have done a great job. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Alpine Securities, thank you. White Bay Group, amazing. But there are plenty more. Where are they? They're silent. Not just with us. Like, if you don't, you know, there's lots of great organizations, nonprofit organizations in the community doing really important work, and they need support. So I'm just throwing down the gauntlet.
Well,
if you haven't been given, you need to start.
Well, there are exceptions to every rule. Not that it should be accepted, but not everybody is as, you know, giving as others. So mm-hmm. we definitely want to, I don't want to make it seem like it's a across the board support like that, but I just want to say that, having been a member of the legislature and hearing it on an annual basis, the EDA has let it be known charitable contributions are a part of the deal. We've had some, you know, we've had some folks who, you know, who try their best to weasel out, but, you know, for the most part, you know, I just want to speak to what I know.
It's a great program.
We're good with that. Yeah. I mean, it has some.
Yeah, we're so thankful. EDA is so good.
It has some areas that need some gaps that need to be filled. I will note that, but I just want to put that out there. So, I just want to ask all three of you this question, because one of my listeners who comes onto the show, here's what she texts me. She said, "Next time I call you, and I'm on the air, I want to sound that happy." So people are listening to you, and they're hearing the joy in your voices as it relates to anticipation for Saturday. Mr. Araujo, you feeling good? You ready for Saturday?
Feeling great. Listen, it's going to be a very, very exciting day. Parents, students, everybody's going to have a good time. And ultimately, I'm just happy that the resources will be in one place. So after the event, even if you don't make it, you can always go online, find the information, and be able to have a consistent resource. So I'm very happy to be part of this. It's a good program.
Ms. McCann, you excited? Ready?
I'm so thrilled. I'm so excited. It's so wonderful. A lot of those sponsor organizations will be there, chatting and, you know, networking with people and so many other participants. I know we keep talking about libraries. Division of Libraries will be there, and so many others. So it's just going to be a really great, fun day. We're actually encouraging people, if you want to do it, you can do cosplay. Some of us will be dressed up, so let's see what kind of fun costumes, and, you know, it's carnival time. Let's get creative. Let's have fun with it, and see you on Saturday.
And I tell my friend Chantal Hoheba, say hey, look.
Oh, yeah. You'll have to see if you can even recognize her, because I know she's planning to dress up.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And Ms. Margolis, I could, you know. My audience could hear it in your voice. You're feeling good. You're feeling good about Saturday. The prospects are good.
Yes. No. It is good. We are very. It has been. Like I said, with a long haul, a lot of planning, a lot of thinking about it, logistics. We're happy with the support we've received. We're excited to to welcome the everybody in. It's a free event. We didn't charge the vendors. We didn't charge the people. We didn't want to charge people to have access to this event. But I do want to say, I bring your children. I mean, have the kids, but kids should be accompanied by adults. We want parents to participate with their children, see what their children like, go to the different things, explore with your children. So we are really excited. And we are so thankful for the support, and we just want to see what happens. And I do want to say, we are going to have a performance lineup as well, starting from 11 to 4. We're going to have Partners for Strings doing an orchestra. Shen Dragon Dojo is going to be doing an exhibition for about 20 minutes. Fafa Dance, VI Movement Lab, and then MLB Dance. So we do have a performance schedule, and we will have a place in the front of the arena where these groups will be doing about 20 minutes to 30 minutes of performances as well.
Liza Margolis, Amber McCannon, Vernon Araujo, I want to congratulate you on putting together the Kids Play Expo this Saturday at the UVI, the Eldridge Blake Sports and Fitness Center down at the University of the Virgin Islands. Congratulations, and thank you for all you do on behalf of our children here in the Virgin Islands.
Thank you for the time.
Good.
Have a blessed day, and we'll see you Saturday.
Okay, good.
Yes.
And have fun. Congratulations once again, okay?
Thank you.
You got it. That's Liza Margolis from, make sure I say this right. I don't want to make any mistakes here. Let me go to the article, because there's an article on the source from back in February that laid everything out. Hold on there. Right, I think it's LJM, Business Solutions. Bam, bam, bam. Okay, here we go. Right? LJM Business Solutions, Liza Margolis. Island Vibe Summer Camp, Mr. Vernon Araujo. And Miss Amber McCannon from the Virgin Islands Children's Museum. Hey, Frankie Hoheb, your daughter Chantel, she's one of the heart and soul of the Virgin Islands Children's Museum. So, I ain't gonna let Miss McKenna come on and don't give Chantel a shout out. I know when Frankie see me, he gonna want to raise hell, you know what I'm saying? So, it's all good. Check this out. Don't forget to get a copy of this month's Take 12. I've been teasing my partner, Boogie. I said, hey, Boogie, big shot there on the cover, right? We got Miss Commissioner Deanna Wells Hendrington, right? On the cover. And, we do the Commissioner's Corner every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1. Right here on NPR. And she's on the cover, and they got a nice article inside. Hold on there. Let me see what page the article there, because I just took a picture and sent it to my partner to let you know. Okay, here we go. Yeah, page 13, the Commissioner's Corner. WTJX 93.1 added a new program to its lineup. The Commissioner's Corner with Education Commissioner Dion Wells Hendrington. The Commissioner's Corner airs Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. right after the WTJX's local radio news program, the WTJX News Feed. And, of course, Marcelina Ventura Douglas. they'll knock that out. And we got Tom Ader providing support there as well. The Department of Education's goal is for the program to serve as a direct link to continue to connect the stakeholders. The VIDE, that's the Virgin Islands Department of Education, transforms today's learners into tomorrow's leaders. And they are hoping that this program leads to transparency and keeping the public informed on all things related to the educational system of the U.S. Virgin Islands. The Commissioner's Corner also streams live on WTJX's new YouTube and Facebook pages. Speaking of which, let me give some program notes because I didn't do that earlier. Wednesday, April 3rd, we got the PBS NewsHour at 7 p.m. We got NOVA, right? Explore the spectacular cosmic phenomenon of a total solar eclipse, right? And that happening this month, right? A brief history of the future is at 9 p.m., right? Join Ari Wallach on his journey to seek a more sustainable future. That's from 9 to 10. And then another edition of NOVA, right? Explore the ingenious engineering of Beijing's Forbidden City, power center of Imperial China, right? That's Beijing. And then Amanpour & Company from 11 to midnight. Of course, you know, Amanpour & Company was a midnight gig, but when time had turned back, but no time turned forward. So coming on at 11 instead of midnight. We had a great show today, right? We had the weather service, right? And then we had my friend Dwayne Henry and I, we were breaking down the primaries. Had four primaries yesterday in New England, two in New England, Connecticut and Rhode Island, one in New York and one in Wisconsin. That's the one we're keeping an eye on because Wisconsin is unquestionably a purple state. So we're looking at that and prospects look good for both candidates, you know, because support is there. You know, you had more Republicans turning out in the primary than Democrats in Wisconsin. But, you know, be that as it may, you had more Democrats, a higher percentage of Democrats, and from a volume standpoint, voting for Biden than voted for Trump, even though you had 24,000, 25,000 more Republicans participating in the primary. That's interesting. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then, of course, you know, we had David Hall on talking about growing up in Savannah and playing college basketball in Kansas, at Kansas State, and then, you know, going on to Harvard, all that stuff. And U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock will be a part of the student convocation this afternoon, 1 p.m. at the Eldridge Blake Sports and Fitness Center. That very, very important entity. You know, I mean, for years, 20 years now, you know, Uzi Richards and the St. Croix Senators, that multi-purpose center for UVI and St. Croix, we're taking us along. You know what I mean? Let's make that happen. Check, and we need that. And then, of course, we got Kids Play coming up this Saturday. I want to thank Amber McKinnon, Vernon Arahujo, and Ms. Liza Margolis for joining us in our number two. Okay, so enjoy the hump day. Be good and be safe. Be back tomorrow. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.